good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to another week's roundup here at Studio 5 Hutton Orbital. It's the very finest radio station that's broadcasting out of Alpha Centauri at this hour, on this day, in this week, from this location, through this microphone, through this studio, and only if you don't like Thargoid Hour from Studio 7. I'm Dick Chafing, and I'm back in the button-pushing driving seat this week.
Hopefully we put the chair back in the position you like it. But we're sorry, the comfy cushion didn't survive. Oh. Alvin's taken it. I'm Harry Balzac, and I'm Hutton's roving finger on the pulse of what's going on in the galaxy this week.
Norma Stucker's here. I've given the Milky Way a good probing this week, and will be telling you useful things about what everyone's up to.
I'm Seamless Amelia, and ready. Raring to go with whatever language-mangling tongue-twisters the writing room wings my way.
I'm Commander Wotherspoon. I'm just concerned that you're going to make me read things that are going to get me into terrible trouble.
And I'm Lou, staying well out of reach of Norma because she still hasn't forgiven me for rocking in at 3 a.m. last Thursday after a bit of a late-night pangalactic gargle blaster session. With a kebab on the way home.
And now, as always, on with the headlines.
Pilots turn tricks with celerity for parity celebrities.
You can't hold a candle to this, or indeed blow it out.
Tharg gets within tentacles' reach of a mug.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to believe.
Little Willy's big adventure begins.
Aunt Sally as Sahara Croft. Oh, I see.
Atrus 5060's poking his nose into the Pleiades.
Lou's looking into the hot pit news.
I think Norma said that she had a week off.
Last weekend saw the time of year that all pilots with a positive credit balance dread, Game Blast. Game Blast is an organized weekend where the least dastardly pirates you'd ever wish to meet in a dark nebula find new methods to separate pilots from their void opals, low-temperature diamonds, painite, gold, other luxury commodities, and any credits they have in the bank. They then, Robin Hood-like, transfer the proceeds to their pirate lord, who makes them available to aspiring pilots with a greater need, to help them engineer their cockpits in inspirational and individual ways to make flying possible. The pirate lord we speak of course, known as Special Effect Dr. Mick, and let's not forget his bosun Baz, a worthy, nervy, swarvy, scurvy dog if ever there was one. Pilots all over the galaxy have been rising to the challenges set by this, the acceptable face of piracy. Even the Pilots Federation held a jumble sale to sell off some stuff they found on the back of a cupboard and to raise the credits needed to satisfy demands. One enterprising pilot decided to just sing potato for hours and raised over 16,700 credits. Imagine what the Pilots Federation could have raised if they had an idea for a vegetable-based theme song. I've never been robbed of all my credits by nicer people, said one pilot. I'm only sorry I haven't got any more to give, said a second who had the same accent. It's quite uncanny. I think we can all tell how well received this daylight and artificial light for the more pasty-faced among you. Robbery has been received by the number of 5-star reviews on ShipAdvisor.
Sunday, February the 23rd, marked the first anniversary of the Fuel Rats' greatest single, Biggest Rescue Yet. that of Commander Diluvian Ray's crews, in an operation known as Beyond the Dark Edge. The commander, you may recall, became stuck in November 3304 while attempting to break the record for the furthest distance travelled from Sol unaided, which was set at 157.06 light-years beyond Semitus Beacon, which is itself 65,647.34 light-years from Sol, by Commander Kenneth McGrew. Sadly, Commander Diluvian ran out of fuel a massive 141 light-years, from the main star, but just 16 light-years from equaling the record. After 2 months of deliberations and inward monologues, the commander conceded that there was no way to break the record without any fuel. And so, on January the 4th, 3305, he called the Fuel Rats. A huge amount of calculation and engineering of ships followed, and a veritable flotilla was engaged in the rescue. After weeks of flying and mid-space refueling from other fuel rats, the two refueling ships, two because it never hurts to have a spare, arrived where Commander Diluvian was stranded, and he was successfully refueled. This was streamed live, and the galaxy held its collective breath as Commander Diluvian jumped out of the system and was greeted by a crowd of well-wishers at the star as he finished the refueling process by scooping. We salute the Fuel Rats, and for this rescue, we'd like to especially mention Commanders Veristhea, Numerlore, Idianera, Falcon JSDF, Highway Warrior, and Crunchy Baton. Talking of blasts from the past, Commander Wagar has set sail on his lore tour aboard the good ship Snore 4, recapping the story so far. After a minor incident with the adjudicators of the Galnet News Forum as to whether he was allowed to have an opinion on absolutely anything, the Senator has confirmed that his flight will be his swan song. At least, until the Pilots Federation confirms that he can spend the rest of his space career legless, baseless, and surrounded by just the right kind of atmosphere. Until that time, he'll be enjoying his retirement.
Commanders Orhayam, the original bastard, retired Navy T1 and Tyrant Shadowstalker, recently came over all Hackswing-like and decided to spend an evening increasing the amount of Vargoidlessness in the galaxy by popping a few clops. Nothing unusual about that, and normally would not have merited a mention, except that Commander Retired Navy T1 was also carrying his load of mugs as part of Operation Hot Mess. Thankfully, we've not had to call on the services of the Apology Officer this week, and everyone can breathe a sigh of relief. We would like to point out that Hutton Orbital does not condone this reckless endangerment of such a precious cargo, and would encourage other pilots to just keep their head down, continue to concentrate on delivering mugs, and stop looking to actually enjoy yourselves.
There once was a minor corporation. Humble, cosy, wouldn't say boo to a mama's bog spaniel puppy. And it even stayed quiet, high up on the moral high ground, despite much temptation when falsely accused of copying someone else's work. Their name often led them to be confused with a certain web-spinning superhero, at least on this show anyhow. And some foresaw them joining the ranks of those who collect galactic assistance once a week. But then they had an idea. An idea so monstrously simple, so mind-bogglingly useful, that many people said, "Why has no one thought of this before?" And therein lies the secret of what separates an idea from an idea. They struggled for a long time with the concept. They fretted over the colour. They made a stab at a name, and luckily it wasn't already in use. So they decided to keep it. Now, all they needed were two things: money to finance the idea, and a catchphrase. A slogan that would trip off the tongue so easily that it would be on everyone's lips, and the whole galaxy would know what it was, and why they must, absolutely must, have one. And so, they reserved a slot in the last commercial break of the last Gullnet news that anyone alive can still remember. And they launched this idea with the unforgettable lines. A table. Not just any table, but a table for your table. Tabletop gaming will never be the same again as your tabletop tabletops your standard tabletop, and stops your standard tabletop game from being ruined by topple tipple washing over your top. Standing on cute little legs. The level up lifts the level up a little so you can place your board on board and keep the tabletop that's under for things you don't want on the top. And the rest, as I'm about to say, is history. Their finance was supposed to raise 7,660 credits, but they reckoned without the power of a simple-to-remember pithy expression. We can reveal that, in the end, they were more than 115 times oversubscribed, raising a massive 885,955 credits, and 15,789 commanders will reap the benefits of being the first to get their hands on one. Many, many more will follow in the future, of that we have no doubt. In keeping with the original Hutton advert for it, we've got these words for Spider-Man and Chums. The level up has leveled up. Yes, the little table for your bigger table hit new heights as backer levels failed to level out, but instead lifted the level up to the tip-top top table heights of legendary levels. If you pledged your wedge, then your wedge was lodged, and the little level up will be winging its way to you once the team have picked themselves up from under the table. Which, of course, sports a little tabletop, long-legged level lifting level up. So, we're hoping that's all clear now. 07 Spider-Mind Games.
It's not often that we're lost for words. But when we received an application this week from a new commander, along with his letter of introduction and an appropriately donated fee, we couldn't help but be awestruck. Yes, little Willie, former heavyweight wrestling champion, part-time nightclub bouncer, long-term friend to Big Willie Flanagan, and Pilots Federation hardman, had decided that he wants to be a trucker. He's staked his claim over at Willie's Port, downloaded the Hutton Helper, waved goodbye to Big Willie, packed his really little Willie Mini-Me and his copy of the Wee Free Men, signed by awfully Wee Willie Big Chin, and boarded the good ship Muppet, heading for Hutton Space. There was a tear in the eye of Big Willie Flanagan as his long-term sidekick and partner in crime left, but it was high time that the little Willie was let out in public and had adventures of his own. Major General Noctivagus sponsored his application to the truckers and has fully funded an Imperial cutter resplendent in vibrant blue to bring the big little fella safely and in style to Hutton Space. It's that kind of helping hand that keeps model members of the Pilots Federation the upright people that we always suspected they were. Don't be deceived by Little Willie's mild-mannered looks. Under his flight suit, he's a foaming mass of barely restrained enthusiasm. And with no strength to hold him down, he's going to be working hand in glove with Hutton's puppet masters to bring a little bit of Little Willy magic to the galaxy. Welcome aboard, friend, and we're sure you'll be meeting the Flanagan again, as planned sometime soon.
Aunt Sally, Hutton fan and pilot of the Hutton-sponsored, Nocti-doctored, pink on the inside, blue on the outside, PWAF, hit a bit of a snag in her whiff-waff shakedown over in the Canary system. A passing interstellar dust storm, a major but occasional navigational hazard, forced the PWAF to make an emergency landing on a nearby volcanic world. Having sent out for the Major General and his portable AFMU, including left-handed 3/8 Gripley, Aunt Sally was forced to brave the environment and build a shelter for her and her co-pilot, nicknamed Wurzel. Equipped as ever with the latest in fashionable but oh-so-practical outfits for the everyday pilot about town, Sal sported the kind of rusty-dusty desert chic that would put Indiana Jones, Lara Croft, Lawrence of Arabia and the entire cast of The Mummy to shame. the red interstellar dust storm hit the planet, coating everything in a thick layer and turning the pink wafer from blue to russet red in the blink of an eye. With the yellow sun turning orange and the ultraviolet end of the spectrum turning even more invisible than it normally is, she waited out the sandstorm with typical explorer's calm. And, of course, a handy pink gin. Reports are that the Nocti has breathed life into the PWAF and effected a rescue. Red alert cancelled and we're green with envy at his skills. And to Aunt Sally, colourful character that she is, right on, you great brave interstellar voyager.
Good evening, trackers. Aegis 5060 reporting in with the latest intel on the Thargoid War. The brave anti-Xeno pilots of the galaxy have fought off the Thargoids, ending the incursion of Lembast, and while we celebrate this victory, the Eagle Eye Network, at the time of this recording, is still reporting gibberish. Gibberish! Gibberish! It's not saying anything. Aegis have taken ages to finally emerge from the rock they were hiding under, to wish the brave pilots, including our very own Haxwing, continued success in the defence of humanity, but quickly retreated to a different rock to hide under when asked about the state of the Eagle Eye Network, as well as how they are helping in the fight. Our trucker brethren over in Operation Ida continue their incredible work in repairing damaged stations, having nearly repaired all three stations in HIP 10492 and Copernicus City in Kunyadju, in less than a week. Stay on alert, trackers, for those pesky bugs, and help repair the galaxy by curing mods and fixing stations. Good luck out there, truckers! Remember, it's for the mug!
Everything's quiet. Too quiet. Systems look healthy. No one has plague. There aren't any pirates. No one is on holiday. Okay, apart from Snuggles McKeague. The infrastructure's not broken. The four horse people of the background Simopolis are conspicuous by their absence. Nothing's on fire. No one is attacking. The ballot boxes are safely stowed. Everyone's well fed. Even Colonia's feeling fine. Just a tickle needed in tier to get us back into second place. How boring is that? I mean, I like an easy life slightly more than the next commander, but really? Can someone just go and mess up a few systems so there's something to talk about? Come on, Norma, you always excite me.
Push it away, Lou, it's not your birthday.
Aww.
It's been another quiet week, but one piece of good news from Operation Hot Mess. One mug is doing its duty and removing pain in the arm. That's Pain Institution in the Arm System. And it's been mugged by Rudy Romkraut. Flossie will give you a rundown of the Hot Mess situation later on. The Buckyball Racing Club and the Elite Races have teamed up to offer two challenges at Course Base in Ross 1047. The Buckyballers are The Buckyballers are doing the Course Base Drag Strip Challenge, an out and back drag race, and the Elite Races are doing the Course Base Circuits at the base. Why not join these upstanding members of the racing community and get stuck in with the two challenges? There's not a lot in the diary other than the regular Hut and Dusty QC on Sunday, organised by Commander Shoreside Customs. Looks like everyone is avoiding meeting in large numbers. But what better way than in a sealed spaceship, I say. That's all from me this week.